You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. In a few moments, we'll be talking about a new study from researchers at Harvard Medical School showing that mammograms might be helpful for women under the age of 50, which goes against the advice of many cancer organizations, which recommend mammograms only for women who are over the age of 50.
First, we're going to bring you the story of two things you don't often experience together, farming and pizza. Brianne Chasso tells us how the two have combined to create a scenic and tasty meal.
When I told people I was going to a pizza farm, I kept getting the same question over and over. What is a pizza farm? So I posed that question to Pam Taylor, owner of the Nelson Stone Barn in Nelson.
A pizza farm has a lot of different connotations. Ours here is because we grow our own herbs and custom make our own pizzas. So we're a little bit different than growing your own vegetables, but we try to stay as local as possible. There are some that grow their own vegetables and then go farm to table.
Taylor doesn't start serving until 5 p.m. on Saturdays, but sometimes people show up early. On the day I visited, more than 20 cars and motorcycles stretched in a line along the road. By 5:30, around 60 pizza orders had been placed. The record number of pizzas in a night is 226, set earlier this year. Inside, staff take orders, prepare dough, and sauce and top pizzas. After the bubbling pies are pulled from the oven, they're quickly sliced and delivered to customers.
You guys 18?
Yep.
The Hawaiian? Clearly, the pizza is popular, but the scenery doesn't hurt either. Golden barn walls house a seating area and herb gardens. Again, Pam Taylor.
We're mostly here just so people can come and enjoy, get a little taste of nature with your dinner. We're not a formal restaurant where you have to sit down and watch your kids. As you can see, the kids are running all over. It's a very comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. That's what I wanted.
Sometimes it feels like a fun family.
That's Heather Seacrest of Suncrest Gardens Farm in Cochrane. I try to stay out of the way as she maneuvers a pizza in her wood-fired oven with a peel on a pizza night. Seacrest bakes the pizzas in a fire-brick domed oven that looks kind of like an igloo, a very warm, tan igloo. Usually, Seacrest starts firing the oven by 11 a.m.
It was at probably 400 when we started the day, and this, when it all turns white in the inside of the oven, it's at 900 degrees and the floor is at 700 then. And so that's what we aim to cook at, is around 700, 750.
Like other pizza farms, pizza nights are only one part of Suncrest Gardens Farm. Seacrest and staff tend crops, care for animals, and prepare food shares for a community-supported agriculture program. They're busy, but Seacrest says all of the pieces of the farm fit together.
And even the ash from our oven goes back to the garden, you know, as to help with the fertilizer, you know, plan of the garden, you know, back there. So nothing, everything has its purpose and everything's used, and we've even mulched tomatoes with pizza boxes. Everything's full circle as much as we can.
The pizzas I tried were unbelievably fresh. But my favorite ingredient was something that came extra with each pie. Passion. Everyone I met is passionate about knowing where their food comes from and about using the freshest possible ingredients. Mingled with that is a connection to nature and to the farm. A trip to a pizza farm isn't just about going to grab a pizza. It's an experience and a relationship with food that's hard to get in our daily lives. That's what keeps bringing people, and me, back for more.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode is produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. You can find more info at wisconsinlife.org.
New research from Harvard Medical School reopened a running question: at what age should women start getting regular mammograms? And we'll be talking about that next. And we want to hear from you. Are you confused by the guidelines on when to start getting mammograms? Do you regularly get screened? And what age felt right to you and your physician? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Dr. Wendy DeMartini is with us. She's a visiting professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and a UW Health Breast Center radiologist. Dr. DeMartini, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you and your listeners.
Well, let me ask you a basic, maybe dumb question. What is a mammogram? How does it work and what is it detecting?
Sure, that's a great question. A mammogram is a set of images or pictures of the breast that we obtain using x-rays passing through the breast. Typically, a woman will have two different pictures obtained of each breast, so a total of four pictures for a screening mammogram. And then we use that to try and detect breast cancer early, before it's come to the point at which a woman can feel it in the breast or as it presents with a lump, for example. And we look for things that stand out on a mammogram as potential cancers that stand out by their shape on the mammogram compared to some of the background tissue, or by how relatively white they are on the mammogram compared to some of the background tissue.
And how prevalent is breast cancer?
It is still, despite many advances that we've made for early detection and treatment, it still is a quite common disease. It's still the most common non-skin cancer that women will be diagnosed with, and it's the second leading cause of cancer death still in women following lung cancer.
And let's get into the really confusing bit. It seems like every year or two we hear a new bit of dueling data, a new recommendation about when women should start getting regular screenings. This newest is from Harvard Medical School, out this week. What did that study tell us, and what was different maybe about it than what we've heard in the past?
Sure, absolutely. So it is quite frustrating, I know, for all of our patients and our referring doctors, and it's frustrating for us in the breast imaging community as well. This particular study, as you mentioned, was published in Cancer, and it came out of the Harvard Medical School. And what this study did was they looked at two of their big hospitals in Boston, and they identified all of the women who were diagnosed with an invasive type of breast cancer over a 10-year period. And then from those women, there were about 7,000 of them, they identified those who had actually died of their breast cancer, and there were about 600 of those type of women. And then they looked at those 600 women who had died, and they looked back and tried to determine, had those women had a regular screening mammogram, which they defined in their study as having at least a mammogram every 2 years, so that's a bit of a generous definition. And they also looked at some of the patterns of what ages the women were when they died of their breast cancer. And what they found was that of all the women who died of breast cancer, almost three-quarters, 70% of them had not had a regular screening mammogram. So that's obviously a quite sobering number. And they also found, very importantly in getting to the issue of the screening of younger women in particular, that half of the women who had died were under the age of 50 years, which, as you and your listeners may know, is the age below which currently one of the organizations does not recommend routine screening.
And why? That's the National Cancer Institute, I think, and they're following on a U.S. Preventive Services Task Force finding saying don't get those regular screenings for most women before 50. What's the case there? What's wrong with starting as early as you want?
Well, so we know absolutely there have been lots of studies of screening mammography in the United States and other countries, lots of different studies, lots of different types of studies, and they very clearly show that mammography decreases deaths from breast cancer, and that it decreases deaths from breast cancer in women who are in their 40s and women who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Absolutely, studies show that. So it's a very good test, and it's not the perfect test. So it always, as with any test, has some advantages, which would be finding those breast cancers early, and then some potential limitations. And the limitations for mammography would include what we call false positive. So the test shows something and we have to ask you to come back to have some additional tests and it turns out it wasn't a cancer. So that's one potential limitation. And the other potential limitation is what we call a false negative. So there's actually a cancer there, but it doesn't show up on the mammogram. And each of those occur relatively infrequently. But the way that different societies have decided to sort of weight those advantages and limitations has determined what recommendations they've decided to make. So what you mentioned, the USPSTF, which is quite a mouthful, so that's the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, came out in 2009 with a revision of their recommendations. And they decided in younger women to more strongly weight the limitations, the false positives, even though we know that the deaths from breast cancer in that group, the reduction in breast cancer deaths was exactly the same as it was in the slightly older patient group. So it was all about sort of what definitions or priorities they decided when they made those guidelines. Now, I will say it's frustrating because really they're the main group that has come out against recommending routine screening of women in their 40s. but many, many of the other major medical groups still do recommend starting to screen in 40s, and that includes the American Medical Association. Actually, the NCIR, the National Cancer Institute, also recommends starting to screen in your 40s, as well as the American Cancer Society and the American College of Radiology. So we have a lot of groups who, again, using the same data and considering the benefits and limitations, really feel that starting in the 40s is worthwhile, because we know that we can decrease breast cancer deaths in that group of women.
One critique of this Harvard study, it found, as you said, women in their 40s not screened, dying of breast cancer. But do people in their 40s, do people who get cancer at a younger age have a different type of breast cancer than women who develop it later?
Right. That's an excellent point. So they, young women we know do tend to have cancers that grow potentially more quickly and can grow more aggressively. And I think there are two things you want to keep in mind with that. One is that, absolutely right, mammography is not going to be able to find all breast cancers in that group of women. We're less good than an older woman who might have slower growing cancers, because a cancer might come up between a regular mammogram. But on the other hand, if we don't do mammography at all in those women, we know we can still find at least half of the breast cancers using mammography. And if we're not doing it all, we're really missing the opportunity that we could with screenings to find at least half of breast cancers in that group of women.
We're talking to Dr. Wendy DeMartini, visiting professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, about the kind of ongoing back and forth over when women are recommended to start getting mammograms, breast cancer screenings.
And we'd love to hear from you on this. What are your questions about breast cancer screenings? When did you decide to get a mammogram, and when did your doctor advise you? How did you weigh the competing advice that is out there? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Dr. Wendy DeMartini is with us now. She's a visiting professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and a UW Health Breast Center radiologist.
We're talking about the question, the ongoing question, when should women start scheduling regular breast cancer screenings? You can join in. Are you confused by what you hear in the news? What does your doctor tell you? If you're a doctor, what do you tell your patients? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@wpr.org. We'll go to the phones now. We have Cindy with us in De Pere. Cindy, hi.
Hi. I have a comment and then a question related. I recently read about an increase in thyroid cancer because of people having routine dental x-rays. So I'm wondering about the research against having mammograms at all because of too much exposure to radiation to a person who may already have the propensity to get cancer. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Cindy, thanks for the call. Dr. DeMartini, is there a concern with the radiation dosage, I guess, in a mammogram?
Well, certainly, you know, those of us who practice as radiologists always, it's a particular concern and area of focus of us that we want to only use radiation where we need to and in doses that we need to. So that's a great question. The question of whether there's an increased risk of from the radiation to the thyroid actually came up a few years ago, in part because it was presented on a national daytime television show. And that has very clearly been refuted by the scientific evidence that there's no sufficient dose to the thyroid to create any increased risk of cancer because of the dose that we're giving, which is very low, and also the way that the dose is directed by the direction of the mammogram machine. So that should not be an issue for women, even those who have some other type of radiation exposure. And in general, women will not need to, but a woman who has a particular concern can always ask to wear what's called a thyroid shield. It's just a little lead-lined shield that they can wear over the thyroid while they're having a mammogram. So that is always an option, although one that's not needed by most women. And we try to not use it if we don't have to, because it can sometimes block some of the mammogram pictures.
That reminds me of the fact that some people might need to do the mammogram differently. Are the guidelines different for different women, say somebody with a genetic history of certain types of breast cancer?
Another great question. So what we've been talking about thus far really refers to the general population, what we'd consider a broad spectrum of more or less average risk women. But if we know that we're talking about someone who has elevated risk, such as someone with one of the known gene mutations or a very, very strong family history, mother, sister, father, brother, et cetera, those women are in a different group. And we certainly would want those women to ideally have some sort of a visit with a practitioner to talk about risk assessment and different things that they can do, because there's more obviously than screening for breast cancer that we want these women to think about. But in terms of screening for breast cancer, this group of women does have a different set of recommendations, which include having a mammogram once a year, typically beginning at around the age of 30, and then adding to that typically once a year breast MRI or magnetic resonance imaging examination.
We'll go back to the phones now. We have Sherry with us in Onalaska. Sherry, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to ask, Sherry?
Hi. Yes, breast implants. I had breast implants when I was 20 years old, and I'm now over 50. And I used to get regular screenings up until the age of about 50. I'm over 50 now. And I haven't had a mammogram for 5 years because every time I got a reading back, they would say they couldn't really read correctly about anything. The breast implant was in the way, I guess. So I'm just wondering about that aspect of mammograms.
Thanks for the call, Sherry. Dr. DeMartini, breast implants and mammograms.
So breast implants and mammograms, we have ways of taking images that both include the implant on the picture so that we can kind of see all the tissue around that. And then for women with implants, we also do what's called an implant displace view, where we move the implant back a little bit and move the tissue that doesn't contain the implant forward a little bit. So with most women, we can still get a good pictures of the breast between the ones that have the implant in the picture and the ones that do not. So I really would emphasize we may not be able to see everything that we would if you didn't have the implants, but still we can generally get a very good look at the breast tissue, and definitely still worth having a screening mammogram.
Is that technology everywhere? Is that something you have, but that maybe Sherry's provider doesn't?
No, that should be routine, that everybody would do those types of pictures with an implant. I think that you will certainly find that there are more people who are more comfortable reading those sorts of studies, and that tends to be at practices where they do a lot of mammograms overall. So if that's a particular concern, I would try and seek a place, again, where they tend to do more mammograms. You're going to find that the doctors there are more comfortable reading those types of studies, potentially.
Thanks for the call, Sherry, and good luck. We'll go to Andrew in Appleton now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. I'd like to comment about the age of getting your first mammogram. My wife had her first mammogram at 37. And then she had a follow-up mammogram at 38 and was diagnosed with breast cancer at 38. So having a first breast cancer screening of a mammogram at 50, I don't know if she would be around.
Was she, do you know, Andrew, in a particular risk group, like a genetic background of breast cancer?
No, she wasn't. Hmm. Her OBGYN doctor just recommended maybe you should start. And so she said, okay. And lo and behold, she had breast cancer.
Thanks, Andrew, for sharing the story. And I'm sorry about that diagnosis. But Dr. DeMartini, I guess it's kind of hard for me and a lot of people to understand, why not get a screening if it's available?
Right. Well, and again, Andrew, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so sorry about your wife, but so glad that her breast cancer was found when early. So, it all comes down to these advantages of early detection and then the potential limitations. There's not per se a magic age. As we know, there's not really a biological difference between being 39 and 40. But based on data that we have and reasonable assumptions about how common breast cancer is, 40 is a reasonable starting point, again, for most women who are at average risk, sometime around the age of 40. Below the age of 40, it does become significantly less common and we're more likely to be on the limitation side of the imaging test. And that's why, again, for the general population, it is recommended around the age of 40 by the groups that do recommend starting at that age point.
We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line. She wanted to know how many instances of breast cancer are discovered by the woman herself, I guess, with breast self-exams.
That is a great question. I don't know exactly how many by breast self-exam. It's, I can tell you how many are diagnosed by either the patient or her doctor or that are felt in the breast. And that is still somewhere between about half, and even in this Harvard study, there were about 70% of all the cancers that came to attention because they were felt in the breast. So again, that really emphasized the importance of having the screening mammogram, which we know can find cancers before they can be felt in the breast. And overall, it's felt that mammography in most instances can show a cancer about 3 years before it would be felt by a woman, with a lot of variation depending on cancer types.
So you catch it a lot earlier than you would.
Before
you catch it earlier with the mammogram than with self-exam.
Absolutely. And it's more treatable, obviously, if it's not usually to the size at which it can be felt in the breast.
I've heard this with other scans. Maybe I don't know about mammograms, but it's important to have, I guess, a spotting round, like you get one and you have a picture to compare to later?
Yeah, so the having a comparison is always useful, and it's certainly been shown in mammography that if you've had a comparison examination, once you've had that first one, you're much less likely to be asked to come back for things that are not cancer. So you're much less likely to have those false positive tests because, again, we've got something to compare to that shows the way that your particular tissue is made and distributed in the breast. So having that first mammogram is a really important step as well.
Dr. DeMartini, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
I thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Dr. Wendy DeMartini has been helping us sort out this information. She's a visiting professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and a UW Health Breast Center radiologist.